Good morning. We greet you this morning in Jesus' name and give certainly a warm welcome to everyone here this morning, all the home folks, visitors out there, those of you joining us by phone line. Thank you for joining with us this morning. It's good to hear from you, Micah and Sharon. Thank you for sharing just the work of God in your heart, and I'm glad that those times where we experience pain and disappointment in those relationships and our expectations are dashed, that God knows how to resolve those things, and He can take up those tangled strands. And so while our hearts hurt with those type of experiences, we can trust that on the top side of the tapestry, He's doing beautiful things. And so we can trust His heart in that way. So praise the Lord for that. This morning, I had a message that I had on my heart a few weeks now. And I've called it One Life, Two Destinies. And your choice. Maybe before we move into this message, it would be good to kneel together in prayer. Father, we quiet our hearts before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to the children of men. We thank you for your goodness in Micah and Sharon's life as they've shared with us this morning that, yes, that in spite of dysfunction, Lord, you drew a heart to you. You gave peace that night when a soul called out to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the way you work with us in our various situations. And thank you for the way you worked with Micah there as a 17-year-old and thinking about the brevity of life and eternity. Lord, we thank you for your grace that teaches our hearts to fear. And then that grace relieves that fear in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Father, as we kneel here before you, Lord, as we get into this sermon today, we think of one life. We think of two destinies. We think of our choices. Father, I pray that you take away the blinders from our eyes. Father, I pray that we could see the brevity of life. I pray that we could see the reality of eternity, and Father, that you'd make every one of us diligent to make our calling and election sure. Father, Lord, we have your word before us this morning. We have incredible realities before us this morning. And Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts through your word. Bless this congregation. Bless those who couldn't be here this morning, those traveling to Tbilisi, those who are en route in Chicago, those in Ecuador, Father, various places of the world we find ourselves this morning. Bless your people. Minister to our hearts by your word and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I brought a little illustration along here this morning. See if we can get this working here. All right, what this is, for those of you listening in, is I've got an extension cord I'm plugging into the outlet here close to the podium, and I'm hooking in an electric tea kettle. And I think we've got some water here. We're going to see here. Got some water here. Put in this teapot here. Oh, we've got power, it looks like, so that should work. So would you, while this thing heats up, would you turn in your Bibles with me to James chapter 4, verse 14? James 4, 14. Now, those of you who travel through Mount Vernon very often, you know there's a James 4, 14 vape shop over there. And I don't understand what all they had in mind when they named their vape shop that. I don't know if it's supposed to be a warning that it's going to make your life even more like a vapor if you vape. I don't know what all they had in mind there. But there's a scripture in James 4:14 that we want to read together. James 4 and verse 14. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." And so we know that's the reality of our life, and we're going to let this teapot here illustrate that this morning. As this water heats up, you're going to notice some vapor begin to come out of this thing. And the Word of God says to us, if you want to think about your life, and you think about, what is my life? What is your life? The Scripture says, it doesn't say it's even like a vapor. Sometimes we think, well, it's like a vapor. But no, the Scripture says, your life is a vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. So it's there. That's the reality of our lives. It's there. Our lives are real. Our lives are very real. Just like vapor is a real thing. It appears for a time and then vanishes away. And so you see that happening with this. I don't know if you can see it from there. It's kind of hard to see from far away, but that's how our lives are sometimes too. But there's vapor coming out of the top of there. It appears for a time, and about 3 foot above the teapot, it vanishes away. What is your life? Even a vapor that appeareth and then vanisheth away. There have been some illustrations that have come to me since this message was put on my heart to illustrate how our life is a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. This past Monday morning, April the 1st, at 8:30 a.m., there was an ambulance that was heading north in Garrett County on Highway 27. And there was an EMT on board by the name of McCorder. And this ambulance was hauling a patient from Somerset to the University of Kentucky Hospital, if I have my information correct. And a semi-truck pulled out in front of this ambulance, and it was a tremendous collision occurred. And I think he was, Chasten McCorder was 26 years old, EMT, just in the line of duty, snuffed out. And the person they were transporting in the back of the ambulance was also killed in that. That was less than a week ago. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. Last Sunday, the day before, that was March 31st, 2:03 p.m., Liberty, Kentucky. A Liberty Jeep pulls out of Highway 70. Didn't seem to slow down. Come right through that stop line, right there by Goose Creek Candles. And what's the other business there? Sewing or stitching or something? Anybody know the name of that business? Do what? Sew Kentucky. Stitch what? Stitch Kentucky. This Liberty Jeep, 2005 model, never stopped. It rolled right out into an Equinox coming, I think, south on Highway 127. The impact was tremendous. There were car parts scattered in all over that road. And three people, just in a moment, were in eternity. That was last Sunday, March 31st. April 28th. 3 days before, less than a week and a half ago, a young sister from young lady from our sister church was on her way to work over by Campbellsville, Kentucky. Normal morning, normal work. She was almost at work, in fact, and in a moment of distraction and turning into the driveway where she worked, she crossed over the line of traffic of an oncoming vehicle, and there was a terrible collision. She survived, but the driver of the other vehicle, 61-year-old man, died. April 28th. A few weeks ago, a mother in Virginia took her four-wheeler to the mailbox to get the mail, ran out of gas. You always hate it when that happens. But ran out of gas and had to walk back to the house to get some gas. But by that time, it was time to go to school, pick up the school children. So takes the gas along and picks up the school children and the 14-year-old son. After they, on the way home from school, they fill up the four-wheeler, and he's going to bring that back to the house. So she goes on ahead, and then he never shows up. Or it seems like it's taken a bit too long. So she waited and waited, and thought, well, she better go check and see what might have detained him. And she found his body where it seemed he must have lost control in a curve and was killed. Yesterday, I was visiting with a local law enforcement officer, and it was October 2022 that his son, 18 years old, full of life and energy, worked out here at Neitz Trucking Company, Neitz Companies, there by Dunnville. And at a late night get together with his buddies, he lost control of the vehicle and overturned, and his life was snuffed out, October 2022. It was on Tuesday, May 19th, 2020, when a young man from the local area here, according to what I understand, 26 years old, had picked up a brand new vehicle off the dealership lot, 2020 Silverado. You talk about top of the line, the best that can be made, the truck, Silverado. Had been out messing around, having a little bit to drink, having a good time with his girlfriend. He pulled out with this brand new truck that he was, I think, putting it through its paces, and about 100 miles an hour trying to pass the vehicle on Highway 127 out here, pulled out into an oncoming vehicle. And that brand new pickup, Silverado, was turned immediately into just a mangled mess of twisted metal. I don't know if he didn't have a seatbelt on or what, but he was ejected and hurled through the air and slammed into the ditch and was fatally injured. He was pronounced dead at the Russell County Hospital a short bit later. While firefighters arrived at the scene, this twisted piece of metal that had only moments before been a brand new 2020 Chevy Silverado began to burn. And there were three people trapped inside. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time, a little time, and vanishes away. May 21st, 2015. The day dawned like any other for Lisa Marie Smucker, age 13, and her 11-year-old sister, Lydia Rose. Their brothers and dad went out like any other day to work on the farm and do some construction work, and the ladies, like any other day, did some cleaning and went to a few garage sales to nab up a few deals in the local area. But that afternoon, while on a quick errand to pick up a backpack sprayer, their minivan was struck by a semi. And two sisters survived in spite of very serious injuries, but Lisa and Lydia never came home. What is your life? It is a vapor. It is even a vapor. Diane, would you mind sharing? If we have a microphone up here, I want Diane to share a story of a young man that he knew back in the day that illustrates how our life is like a vapor. The time would fail me to tell of the Gonduran boy over here, hit over by Camelsville. It would fail me to tell you of Isaac Coates, a friend of mine back in the day, who died in a drowning accident in an overseas trip. Time would fail me to tell you of my cousin Leon, headed to the mountains on a Sunday afternoon for a trail ride, passed a buddy in his blazer, dropped a wheel over the edge of the road, tried to get it back on track, corrected and then overcorrected. hit a telephone pole and got that blazer flipping. And unfortunately, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. He was ejected through the front window, through the windshield in a hole about that size, hurled through the air, landed in a cornfield on his head and snapped his neck and was in eternity. Tell us a little about Steve Butts, Brother Diane.
Stephen Butts was a young man that attended Ephrata. For all the years that I knew him, he was rebellious. Mm-hmm. Later on, he had left the church and was still hanging out with the young people. One evening, Stephen showed up at a volleyball game with his girlfriend on a crotch rocket. There was another young man there who also had his girlfriend on a bike. And towards the end of the volleyball game, they needed to return their girlfriend's home. And in the party spirit of that atmosphere, it was decided that they would race to mm-hmm. return their girlfriend and return to the game. While the young people continued to play, they could hear them screaming off. Mm. And then a few minutes later, the noise of bikes was heard again as they were returning. And several miles, about 3 miles, I think, away from the game, Stephen's bike was, the noise was lost. Mm. His friend returned to the game. They waited a few minutes and went to find him. And by the time they arrived, the local officer had draped a blanket over his body, had run a stop sign, hit a vehicle head on.
Thank you. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. I have one more story on this point here as we think about one life. It is a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. Joseph Allen passed away on March 6, 2024, 1 month ago. He had reached the age of 14 years, 9 months, 25 days. His brother Kenny tells the story. I put my gun in the truck. Michael still had his. And just as we got to the woods on the other side, they're on a hog hunt, by the way, Michael asked if he had the only gun, and we all said, yep. The gun was swung over his shoulder like any of us would carry a gun. As we got to the woods, he gets it by the stock or grip because he was going to look through the thermal, it was at night here, to see where the hog was. As he took his gun off his shoulder, he lifted the butt of the gun up in front of him. The gun was under his arm, aiming straight out the back when the gun fired. All of us were walking on either side. All of us were either walking beside him or behind him, and nobody really even knew what happened for a split second. We couldn't see very good in the dark, but the truck lights were kind of shining on us, so I could see better than I sometimes wish I would have. All at once, Joseph Allen is jumping, holding his chest and yelling, "Ouch! Help! Help!" And we told him to lay down quick. Michael yelled back to the truck to tell Kenny Krause that someone had been shot, and I think his 9-year-old son Chase was in the truck with him, but he might have been out there with us. I don't really remember. Joseph Allen was on the ground and blood was almost spraying out of him. I was not strong enough to go over to him, but called 911 and handed my phone over to Kenny and started praying. I looked back over to see where Michael was knelt over his body, and I could see and hear his blood-curdling breaths, and see his body was still breathing. I prayed even harder, and Michael wanted something to try to stop the bleeding, and I instantly took off my shirt, and Caleb took it to him. While Kenny was on the phone with dispatch, he backed the truck right up beside Joseph Allen, and Michael called for help to load him in the truck. I got up, turned, and noticed that it looked like he wasn't breathing anymore. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. Longfellow said it this way. He said, "Art is long and time is fleeting. And our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums, are beating funeral marches to the grave. Do you realize that one day you will walk out of these doors, and it'll be your last time that you walk out of these doors? What is your life? It's a vapor. We go out of the doors of our house so many times every day, but do you realize that one day it'll be the last time that you open that doorknob and go out? It is a sobering thought, but brothers and sisters, it does not need to be filled with terror. If you've been born again and are walking with Jesus, it can be a glorious thought. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So for the believer, that is not a dreaded thought, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and where in the presence of the Lord there's fullness of joy. It doesn't get any better than that. So for the believer, this is not, that is serious. It is serious, but it's not terrifying. Because to be absent from the body, if that was you, that bullet pierces your heart, that semi hits your minivan, if that's you and your heart's right with the Lord, presence of the Lord, praise the Lord, a beautiful reality. As I think about life being a vapor, I think about our graveyard right back out here behind this building. And our graveyard doesn't look normal. I'm here to tell you our graveyard is not normal. As a young man seeking to saturate my soul in the reality of eternity, when I was on the road sometimes, I would stop by graveyards and just try to meditate about the lives that were represented there by those tombstones. And one thing I noticed about many graveyards is that there's a lot of young people's graves there. But that ours is not that way out here. But I have it on my heart this morning that it won't always be that way. Apart from a miracle of divine providence, before many years are passed, there'll be some tombstones out here of some young people too. And I'm just concerned that if it's your name on there, will you have been prepared? At every motion of our breath, life trembles on the brink of death. A taper's flame, a taper is a type of candle, a taper's flame that upward turns while downward to the dust it burns. Moment by moment, years are past, and one ere long will be our last. There is a point no eye can see, yet on it hangs eternity. This is the moment. Who shall tell whether it leads to heaven or hell? This is the moment as we choose the immortal soul we save or lose. Time past and time to come are not. Time present is our only lot. O God, henceforth our hearts incline to seek no other love than thine. So we've been considering here this one life that we have. The scripture says it is a vapor. I want that to be real to us today. But then we come to the second part of our sermon today. We've been thinking of one life. And here's the thing. It's a heavy topic in some ways, but it's also a joyful topic. If your heart is right with the Lord, this whole thing of, you know, this could be your last day, you know, on earth. But if your heart's right with the Lord, that doesn't have to terrify you. In fact, you can drive down the road today at peace with God. And you can look over and see those red buds. And your heart can worship. And if you can go from one worship experience to the next. Amen? That's God's will for that's how God wants us to live our lives. This one life. And so I know it's kind of heavy. I don't enjoy bringing heavy thoughts to us. But the reality, it's reality. And yet, from a place where our hearts are right with God and we're at peace with Jesus, It is a beautiful way to live, because then we actually live in this reality that says this could be my last day. So when you're interacting with your family, the gracious words that are coming out of your mouth, because you never know if this is your last conversation. And the peace, instead of you fussing and scrapping with your siblings because you wanted that Lego, you're happy to yield. You're happy to give because you're living in this reality. And so this reality is not, living in this reality does not ruin your life that you have. It actually makes the time that you do have incredibly valuable when you're driving down the road. I try to do this. It's a beautiful thing. I love this time of the year. The daffodils, I think they're kind of past now for the most part. But right now we're getting into the dogwood season. The whatchamacallums, those red trees, red buds, are in full bloom. And the dogwoods are coming on. There's just beauty. And it's right for us to just savor this moment. This could be my last spring. But I'm going to worship the Lord this spring. It's beautiful out there. You go out there by the creek, the water's gurgling. The plants are turning green. There's this lovely flowers there, these blue, I don't know what they're called, but they smell amazing and they look tremendous. Little blue flowers out there by the stream. All of life, when we live it as it is, live it in the reality of what it is, can be lived in worship to God. It can be lived in peaceful and harmonious relationships with our family as we live in this reality. Now, we want to shift our focus to the two destinies. Is that spelled right? Any misspellings here that's distracting you? We don't need distractions today. Okay. Two destinies. Hebrews. Let's turn to this scripture, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I won't have you turn into many scriptures today. I will read several, but you don't have to turn to many of them. But turn to this one as we think about our two destinies. One life, but two destinies. Hebrews 9, and we're going to read verse 27 there. It says, "And as it is appointed," I'm jumping into the verse here, I believe, "and as it is appointed unto men once to die," because there is one life where it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the what? The judgment. Brothers and sisters, there's only one life, and it will soon be passed. But the Scripture says that, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die," after this life is over, after this, the judgment. And we want to consider a bit about that judgment, and maybe turn to this scripture too while you're turning there. Go to Matthew 25 as we consider the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that after this life is over, whatever a person's done in this life, however they've lived, we've looked at many lives this morning. Time would fail if we could go on and on. There'd be examples that every one of you would have of people who've lived life and examples of how life is as a vapor. And we could spend a lot of time on that. But we want to get to our point here as we consider the two destinies. And so after death is the judgment. And we see this, a picture of this happening here in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 34. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered together all nations, and He shall separate them one from the other." This is the judgment scene, and where everybody's gathered there, but God in His wisdom and God in His justice is separating out mankind into two categories. "As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left," verse 34, "then shall the king say unto them in his right hand, come." Look at that word, come. Come into the king's presence. It's an invitation. Into the presence of the king where there's fullness of joy. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then tragedy of all tragedies, verse 41. You jump down there, it says, "Then shall he say to them on the left hand." There's not an invitation here. This is the worst rejection that a human can experience. "Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me." Think about that. Away from the presence of the Lord. away from the Lord's glory, away from the Lord's power, away from grace, away from mercy, away from light, away from goodness, away from love. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so you see this stark contrast between the two eternal destinies. One on the right hand, entering into life, pleasures forevermore, and the other on the left hand, entering into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I'll read you a scripture that used to terrify my soul. Revelations 20, verses 11 through 15, it says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." What a tremendous day that will be. Terrifying day. Everything that's done is done. The books were open. All that's left is just a record of what was done. "And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in those books according to their works." Think about that. According to their works. All the secret sins that you thought you had gotten away with, you thought they were hidden, all the hypocrisy, all the dishonor of your parents that you thought no one ever knew, it's there. It's written down. It's recorded, and you will be judged. In verse 13, it says this, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." Even those who thought that they were going to get away from this judgment by having their bodies cremated and then scattered all over the earth and the oceans of the earth to try to get away, to try to somehow escape this judgment, the sea is going to deliver those to judgment. "And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And that is one of the two destinies, the lake of fire. That's the judgment scene there. You have those who were entering into life and those who were entering in to the lake of fire. I want to think a moment here about heaven in its glories. We're thinking here of our two destinies, the after death, the judgment, and men are everlastingly damned or everlastingly happy in heaven. So we see here, but think about heaven for just a moment. Heaven in its glory. Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy presence," this is what heaven is. Heaven is God's presence. It says this, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That's going to be heaven. 1 Peter 1:4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." You've got treasures there. Incorruptible, undefiled, non-fading pleasures, treasures, delights reserved there for you. Revelations 21, verses 3 through 4 says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them." I tell you what, that's where heaven is at when God dwells with his people. It's in his presence. There's fullness of joy, and he dwells with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and will be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears. Talk about comfort. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. I don't like death. Death is not a fun thing to talk about. I did not enjoy this first part of this sermon because death is an unpleasant subject, but I'm telling you, in heaven, there will be no more death. Amen? Amen. No more death, neither sorrow. How many of you like sorrow? It is a reality of our life in this world, but heaven is not going to have any sorrow. Neither crying, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. And for some of you sitting here in pain today, I want you to know that heaven doesn't have any pain. For the former things are passed away. In Revelations 22, 1 through 5 says, "And he showed me," we're talking about heaven here, "and he showed me a pure river of water of life." I love to sit by rivers. But here we're talking about a river of water of life, clear as crystal, no pollutions upstream, no toxic waste, pure clear as crystal, proceeding where? Out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. How many of you ever seen a river with a street in it? This is amazing. Heaven's amazing. Rivers and streets. In either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve them, shall serve him. Can you imagine that? What is it going to be like to just serve God without distraction, without temptation, without care? Oh, that is going to be amazing. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever and ever. I heard a sound of voices around the great white throne, with harpers harping on their harps to him that sat thereon. Salvation, glory, honor. I heard the song arise as through the courts of heaven it rolled. It's wondrous harmonies from every clime and kindred, from nation near and far, as serried ranks returning home in triumph from a war. I heard the saints upraising their myriad host among, in praise of him who died and lives, their one glad triumph song. Oh, great and glorious vision, the Lamb upon his throne. A wondrous sight for man to see, the Savior with his own, to drink the living waters and stand upon the shore where neither sorrow, sin, nor death shall ever enter more. And there no sun was needed, nor moon to shine by night. God's glory did enlighten it, the Lamb himself, the light. And there his servants serve him in life's long battle over. Enthroned with him, their Savior, King, they reign forevermore. You know, and that's been bought, that heaven has been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb for every one of us. And Christ offers his pardon freely to everyone who's going to willing to surrender to him. All those who open their clenched fist of defiance or their fist clenched around earth's tinsel toys. Is it monkeys that they trap that way or squirrels? I knew there's some kind of animal they'd get to drill a hole. Which one is it? Somebody help me out. Raccoons. Okay, raccoons. Oh, I was totally wrong. Okay, raccoons. Well, they tell me, I've never done this, but they tell me you can drill a hole in a log and put some bright little tin foil, worthless tin foil in there if you wanted to. And this hole is big enough for this coon to get his hand in there. Now when he gets it around that tin foil or whatever thing you just put in there that he thought was so wonderful, he'll keep it clenched. You can walk up there and he'd be scared out of his wits. But he will not let that stupid piece of tinfoil go. And so he sits there, a victim of his own unwillingness to surrender. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And no one is going to miss it because they were too poor, they couldn't afford it. No one is going to miss heaven because they were too weak. No one is going to miss heaven because they were underprivileged. No one is going to miss heaven because they were too simple-minded. No one is going to miss heaven because they weren't treated right in this world. No one is going to miss heaven because they were too far from God's grace. No one is going to miss heaven because they were too perverted. Those who miss it will miss it because they would not turn loose of a piece of tin foil. Whether that could be your reputation. That could be you're not willing for people to know who you really are, so you keep the covers on. You don't want people to know what you've really done. Can you imagine being a murderer and trying to come to Jesus? Maybe you've hid it for years. Think about the shame of just admitting. Remember that unsolved? But I'm telling you, there's mercy. There's pardon. But you've got to be willing to release. You've got to be, hey, this is me. And I tell you, I believe that one of my struggles in coming to faith in Jesus as a young person was an unwillingness to be real about this old boy right here. That was, I think, as I've reflected on it this morning and thought about my own barriers to come into faith in Christ, I believe, because I wanted desperately, you know, like 1 John 1:9, you know, somebody would read that, it says, confess, what's it say? How's the first John? Yeah, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And I would sit there in church and just wish so hard. I hope that means just to God. You know what I'm saying? You ever? Because somehow it feels a little easier to confess to God. I just don't want anybody else to know. See, I was okay because I already knew God knew. And so somehow that felt a little easier. But so I just tried real hard to get that scripture to mean confess to God. Because I want it, what does it say? What's it say? He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. I wanted that. But I wasn't just too excited about everybody knowing about what's going on in here. So that's where that was my struggle. Anybody else relate to that? All right, okay, so normal. All right. But people cling to reputation. People cling to pleasures. People cling to passivity. People cling to the right to defend myself. There's so many things. People, whatever it is, you're like that coon right there, and all you got in your hand is a little piece of tinfoil. It's not going to do you a lick of good. We got two destinies we're talking about. There's footsteps coming through the woods, and you got your hand there in that log, and you're not willing to turn loose of a piece of tinfoil. That we've been talking about heaven. I want to think about hell just for a brief moment. I don't like to think about hell. I don't enjoy it for a moment. But the Bible teaches us about it. Jesus talked about it. Indeed, he did. He talked about hell. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, he gave the story of Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man was in hell. He found out, he says, and he cried. The rich man here was in hell. He cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus." He wasn't worried about looking cool anymore. Okay, he got over that. This was hell. Okay, all reputation is to the side here. There is a man who's desperate. And young man, young woman, I tell you, there's a day coming in your life where you will be absolutely desperate. And listen to this cry. "Have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So we find here that hell has flames. Not a pleasant thought. It's a scary thought. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And John Newton said it was grace that taught my heart to fear. And so there's a place to fear. And personally, my own journey, I just wasn't too sure about heaven either, because I didn't know if I wanted to be that close to God. Because the scripture says it's natural for us to not love God. I wasn't sure that I really wanted to be that close to God. Singing sounded kind of boring to me. Is that okay if I be honest with you? But one thing I didn't like the sound of was flames. I did not like that sound at all. And the Bible not only talks about flames, it talks about a lake of fire. Revelations 20, verse 15, we're talking about hell now. We're talking about two destinies here. We've looked at heaven. We're now looking at hell. The Bible says in Revelations 20, 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," if your name is not written in that book of life, "you will be cast into the lake of fire." And also we learned not only are there flames, not only is there a lake of fire, but it's also the habitation of devils. Matthew 25, verse 41 says, "Then shall he say to them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels." And can you imagine? Like, I've met people who felt that they were tormented by the devil in this life. Hearing voices, just total agony of soul with these things the presence of evil. But can you imagine spending an eternity with devils and the horrors? People like to do Halloween stuff and pretend all this stuff. But listen, the real thing is no fun at all. This fire is prepared for the devils and his angels, and they will be there. And those who reject Christ will be there. Another one, an aspect of hell is thirst. The Bible says in Luke 16, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." You know, the rich man who had everything he wanted all his entire life didn't ask for a glass of ice water. He didn't. He knew it was too much to ask. But maybe just dip the tip of his finger, just a drop to cool my tongue. You talk about thirst, because when I'm thirsty like I am right now, I want a glass. I want something to guzzle. But in hell, there's no water. Another aspect of hell is outer darkness. Matthew 25, 30 says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." Do you realize? Well, I know you do. Everybody who grows up in this world, sometimes in life, or most of us, have a little fear of the dark occasionally. Anybody honest enough to admit that you're afraid of the dark at times? Or used to be, back before you were big and strong? Well, listen. We find out that usually there's nothing to be afraid of in the dark. It's usually not as bad as it feels. But can you imagine? Especially those of you who've been feared of the dark. Think about this. Outer darkness. Outer darkness. Go into a cave sometime, flip all the lights off, and you will know what darkness is. I mean, total darkness. Not a speck of light anywhere. That's darkness. But we're talking here of another level. Outer darkness. Imagine outer darkness. Some people love darkness. They hide their sins in the dark. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so God gives them over to outer darkness. There's another thing in hell. I believe in hell there's a sensation of falling. 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 I have had some dream. I have dreamed before. I don't know if you've ever done that. You ever have a dream where you dream like you're falling? And it's just a terrifying experience. And then you wake up, whew, and you're in your bed. It's nice. But I've had some dreams. But can you imagine throughout endless ages, falling? Falling. The reason I say that is because in Revelations 9:11 it says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit." Bottomless pit. There's no bottom there. I mean, just an eternity of separation and falling away from the presence of the Lord that I rejected. Another thing about hell, there's agony there. Matthew 25, 30 says, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." We looked at outer darkness, but the next part of the verse says, "And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I've had people or heard people say, "Well, I'm going to be in hell there with my buddies and we're just going to continue the party." Listen. That's not going to happen that way. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is everything but a party. Gnashing of teeth. That's intense agony. Just grinding one's teeth with tremendous agony. And here's one I wouldn't tell you if Jesus hadn't said it. But I'm going to tell you. Because I'm not trying to make it sound worse than it is. But there's maggots there. You think it's bad because you take out a slop bucket once in a blue moon that's got some maggots in it, and you're about ready to vomit. But Jesus said three times in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 44, verse 46, and 48, "Where their worm dieth not." And that word, best I can tell, is maggots. Can you imagine? Another thing that'll be in hell is haunting memories. Luke 16, 25 says, "But Abraham said to the rich man, 'Son, remember.'" Son, remember. In hell, it's not like you're just a different kind of person. No, you remember. In hell, you remember. You remember April 7th, 2024. When I sat there, I said, "No way." You remember, and you will curse your stupidity. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime." And he remembered, he reflected it back, and he has such a clear memory. He counted off his brother. He said, "I have five brothers." And he just begged, "Oh, please, Abraham, send somebody to tell him. Send somebody." He had memory. There'll be haunting memories in hell. And one thing about hell is there will be no exit signs. Over here, you see an exit sign here, exit sign here. There's several of them around this building. There will be no exit signs in hell. Luke 16, 26 says this, "And besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed." There is no way out forever and ever. And here's another very troubling aspect of hell, and that is there's no end to look forward to. You know, as a human, you can endure a lot of things when you look forward to the end. I mean, you could be putting in a hard day at work, sweating, miserable, itchy, whatever, if you're doing insulation, and you look forward, whew, maybe this evening we'll get a shower, get clean, I'll feel better. You know what I'm saying? You can endure a lot of things when you have hope at the end. But can you imagine wearing out the ceaseless ages of eternity with no hope of it ever ending? I wouldn't risk it. Please don't risk it. The Bible says this, wherefore if your hand or foot causes you to sin, it offends you, cut them off and cast it from thee, for it's better for thee to enter into life. That's the one destination. Halt or maimed than having two hands or two feet to be cast into what? Everlasting fire. Revelations 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Alas, after the judgment, it is the damned soul's portion to wear out the ceaseless ages of eternity, tossing on that lake of fire away from the presence of the Lord. All for a short life of hollow pleasures, or because you didn't want to look bad in front of your friends, because you had some stuff that you needed to confess and repent of, or you didn't want to look like a goody-goody, or you didn't want to look like you weren't tough and macho. You wanted, I don't know what it is that would make a man choose that kind of eternity. But it's like a fish swallowing the lure, forgetting that the frying pan is coming. And all the while, this reality of hell is true. This is all the while, though. Do you realize that Christ offers you pardon, full and free, mercy and pardon? He offers you eternal life. I dreamed that judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright, shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper he stood in the judgment. His debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. The widow was there, and the orphans. God heard and remembered their cries. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there, and the drunkard, and the man who sold him the drink, with the people who gave him the license. Together in hell they did sink. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as mortal men too. Now listen to this part here. The soul that had put off salvation. Not tonight. I'll get saved by and by. No time to now to think about religion. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks in the mountains. They prayed. Yes, they prayed, but their prayer was too late. And so I hope we've been able to show you this morning that our life is like a vapor. I hope I've been able to make it clear there are two destinies, heaven and hell. And now we come to this part of the message, and that is your choice. You can believe, you can choose today to repent from your sin, place your faith in Jesus Christ today, or you can say no. No, Jesus. I'm going to say no to the offer of mercy and pardon because I care too much about this little handful of tinfoil reputation that's in this log. And thus, you procure to yourself the full force of the wrath, the just wrath of God Almighty. The choice is yours alone. I cannot decide it for you, and God will not decide it for you. He prepared a feast of mercy and pardon. It is wide open today. Anyone, whosoever will, may come. Anyone may come and be forgiven, be cleaned, be saved, be converted, and experience that eternal life with God. Praise God for His mercy. So the question today, as we come down to this part, and we think of your choice, will you repent of your sin? Will you surrender your life to Jesus For all have sinned. It's just a fact. That's where we all are. And come short of the glory of God. Equal playing ground here. Equal playing field. But we're being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth, this Lord Jesus, to be a propitiation, to die in your place, to bear your sin in His own body on that tree. He is a propitiation for your sins, if you through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I recommend to you today a calculated, firm resolve to respond to God's word. There's a shocking truth that's revealed to us. Abraham said to the rich man there in hell, Luke 16:31, he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, and that's what we've been doing this morning. We've looked at the word of God, what the word of God says about eternal life and eternal death. And Abraham said, if you don't hear Moses and the prophets, if you don't hear this word, you will not be persuaded that one rose from the dead. So please, for your own soul's sake, do not wait for signs. Do not wait for miracles. And hear me now. Do not wait for feelings. Today, flee to Jesus in a simple response to the Word of God. Now is the time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I just want to recommend, in light of the one life that we have to live, the light of the fact that it's a vapor, and in light of the fact that we have two destinies, eternal heaven, eternal hell, I urge you today to turn loose of that little tinfoil and that log and open your arms wide and receive the forgiveness of Jesus.